Did you know you could sponsor Nerd and Tie? That's right. For just $20, we'd say your name here. Maybe say something nice about you. And maybe tell you you look kicking in those jeans. That's right. $20. Just go to nerdandtie.com and click on the sponsor information. Or you can contribute to our legal fund and help us out by going to gofundme.com/nerdandtie.
On this Fortnite's edition of Nerd and Tie, Funimation is jumping on that hot Robotech hype train. Vic Mignogna has been thoroughly defeated in court. The Cowboy Bebop live-action series has been delayed, and our big topic will be fact-checking geek news. All this in a mailbag on this Fortnite's Nerd and Tie.
This month's
Nerd and
Tie. We've been monthly for like...
I know,
almost
but
two
I kept saying...
What, a year, we two... Were, how many... How long? When did we go monthly?
When we were fortnightly, I would say this week's Nerd and Tie. I'm never going to be right. I'm never going to be right. I can't do it.
Oh, dear Lord.
The only way to get him to say monthly is we move to doing it annually.
Oh, man. Introduce us.
Clearly having a better grasp of time than me, we have Trey Dorn.
Hello.
Theorizing about the space-time continuum in ways beyond my understanding, we've got Genjamin.
Hello.
And that's Nick, who can't tell you how long anything happens between what.
It is true. It is, you know, tragically true.
We've had a lot of fun here today, folks, but time is a serious matter. If you're unaware of what time it is or how much time has passed since the last time you did a thing, there are people who can help you. Just call the Speaking Clock at... I don't actually know the number for that.
Yeesh. Wow, okay, well, I can't get my stuff together, but we'll still make this work. How are you guys doing this month? I've talked to you guys more recently than a month. That's the thing that also throws us off.
Right, because we do another show together.
Because we do another show about Stormwood and her associates. So, yeah.
Except I have the weird thing because we are, you know, like weeks ahead of where we are right now when we record that show, that I'm always editing and having to listen to our voices from like a month ago and hearing conversations we had then. And so I feel like I've talked to you even more recently than that, but I'm aware that time doesn't work that way and that I'm not actually communicating with people in the distant past.
Well, excuse me for not understanding linear time in a reasonable manner. God, I say it out loud and I feel dumber than I already did. We should move on. Anyway,
speaking about unreasonable amounts of time.
Speaking about unreasonable amounts of time, yeah. You know who has held on to the copyright or to the right to distribute Macross properties outside of Japan for entirely too long?
Famed character
Harmony
actor
Gold.
Steve Buscemi? Oh,
I wish. No. Harmony Gold are up to their antics again. I didn't mention it on the show, but I got to inform Trey of this not that long ago, that in fact, despite the fact that their license to the Macross property was supposed to expire next year, Harmony Gold confirmed earlier this year that they have renewed their license with Tatsunoko Productions, meaning they still are the exclusive owners of the Macross rights outside Japan, and that Robotech is somehow continuing on its zombified corpse being propped up on toy sales and the equally dragged out of its coffin remains of Carl Masek.
I'm fine with that.
Oh God!
Anything that keeps Macross as far away from me as possible. It's not because I particularly like Robotech better or anything. It's just that I expect Harmony Gold to eventually do nothing, and I don't like Macross. I do feel bad for people like you, though, Nick, who do like Macross. And you should have the things you like.
I mean, it's not as... At least I'm... It's not as bad as the Battletech people who are still holding a grudge against Harmony Gold for things that were done in the early 90s. Like, yikes.
They're not even owned by the same company anymore. The Battletech. It's because FASA went out of business.
Yeah, but they're upset. I mean, that's another bag of worms entirely with the Unseen and that. If you want to hear more about that, I don't know, mailbag us. Maybe I'll do something about it later. But
we don't
know
what we're talking about in January yet. If you write in saying that you demand we talk about the Battletech licensing issues with Macross and Robotech and all of that, write us a bunch of messages.
Dogrum and Crusher Joe. It's nuts. Anyway,
off in my Mad Cat.
Much to my shock and surprise, Robotech is still a thing. It's still... I don't want to say thriving, because it's not. It is a zombie. Harmony Gold is still coming up with new ways to re-release the same awkwardly dubbed in the 80s Americanized anime that they've been reselling for 30-plus years now. And their current strategy, aside from putting it on basically every other streaming service, they announced today that, oh boy, now Funimation is joining the streaming services carrying Robotech. Hobisky, you guys, can you believe Funimation? The number one anime distribution company in America is just, it is striking while the iron is cold and rusty. I don't understand. I want to say I don't understand, except I do understand. The reason that this is happening is because, Funimation is, of course, now a subsidiary of Sony. And last we heard, Sony still had the live-action film rights to Robotech. So this is probably an attempt at a synergy thing for the live-action Robotech movie that's probably never going to happen. But, yep, that's probably why it's there.
But Nick...
Yeah.
Don't you understand that this is the beginning of a golden age for Robotech? And that this will relaunch the entire franchise?
They've been saying that, like,
and aren't you excited about Robotech now that you know that it's going to be on Funimation?
It's already on Netflix, so, you know. Like...
Maybe I'll actually watch it for once.
Don't have to.
It is awkward, weird, bad dubbing from the...
And I say this with, like, as a person who... Look, I'm telling you that Robotech is terrible. Part of me will always love Robotech because it's one of those things that was an early part of, you know, my childhood. But I've kind of given up on caring about Robotech because when I got down to it, I really hate Macross.
See,
and Macross
always...
is the best part of Robotech.
Not unfair. Most PETA's really good, though. The third season with the motorcycles. That, like, the original anime Most PETA's really good.
I know
it was,
watched it, but I have no memory.
It was Joe Hisaishi's first ever soundtrack, like, before he met Miyazaki. So that's really cool. Of course, you don't get that in the Robotech version, so, eh. The one good side of this, I do want to point this out. Well, it's not on Netflix, on other streaming services that Harmony Gold has worked with, they have put unaltered subtitled Macross, Southern Cross, and Most PETA up just under the title Robotech Super Dimension Fortress Macross and Robotech Genesis Climber Most PETA. And as much as saying that phrase made me throw up in my mouth a little bit, it is kind of nice that there might be a way to watch proper Macross, which, if you like 80s anime, please, dear God, watch Macross.
Or don't.
Trey is wrong. Listen to me.
Look, the thing, the robot, walked into the base with the coat on, and none of the aliens thought it was a robot. That worked. That disguise worked.
It didn't work for that long. They're found out, like, immediately.
And while there's also nothing funnier than something gear-walking in a lab coat,
the greatest thing ever.
It is dumb.
Nope, some of the best. Shoji Kawamori.
Like, they walk by the like the alien break room, and the aliens are watching Minmay on television. And
beautiful,
it's
animation directed
it's
by Nobuo Ishiguro. Beautiful character designs by Haruhiko Mikimoto.
I haven't watched this episode in over 25 years, and it has stuck with me as this is the dumbest thing ever.
Or it stuck with you because it's classic, and it has beautiful animation that has aged shockingly well, for the most part, except for that one episode about how Max and Amelia met that looks like butt. Anyway, so Robotech, it's not dead yet for some reason.
Though it should be.
Even though it should be. But you know it is dead. Much to my joy.
Speaking of Funimation.
Speaking of Funimation, for that matter. Well, Funimation may not have won, if you ask me, in regards to this Robotech thing. I tell you what they did win. Their day in court, because holy crap. I know we just talked about it last episode, so I don't want to dwell on this too much.
We've talked about almost every episode.
Okay, so here's our Vic Mignogna watch.
Vic Mignogna watch. In the news in Tarrant County, Texas, Judge Chupp has now thrown out all claims against the defendants in Vic Mignogna versus Funimation et al. Besides the claims already thrown out against Jamie Margie earlier in September, he has now thrown out the claims against Monica Rial, Ronald Toy, and Funimation. Because this was dismissed under the TCPA, sanctions are going to be ruled against Mr. Mignogna, where he will be told to pay legal fees, plus any additional sanctions that the judge determines are appropriate. Due to the odd nature of this case, initially most thought that he would only be sanctioned with the legal fees. However, due to the GoFundMe run by Nick Rakita, the Minnesota lawyer who almost forgot to renew his license this year, but managed to remember after everyone on Twitter pointed out he hadn't paid it, may cause larger sanctions to be set up due to the fact that Mr. Mignogna's spurious lawsuit, the slap suit, was brought on the funds of many, many fans and not out of his own pockets.
Yep.
Now,
oh yeah.
So we're recording this October 21st, and it's going to go up October 22nd. So the sanctions hearing hasn't happened yet. We know there are going to be sanctions, and Ty Beard, Vic Mignogna's lawyer, has said that they intend on appealing the ruling. So if they appeal, and there's still an if because they can't actually appeal until after the sanctions hearing, and the defendants have until November 4th, I think, to file their to file their stuff for, like, the sanctions, and then the hearing will happen at some point after that date for the actual sanctions. And if Vic Mignogna appeals, he won't have to pay the sanctions until after the appeal process finishes, assuming that,
and that's assuming he actually appeals, because right. While his lawyers say so, there's kind of
yeah. So now, if he appeals, he won't have to immediately pay the sanctions. But when the appeal fails, and I say when, and I'll say why in a moment. I said when the appeal fails, he'll also have to pay sanctions on the appeal. It's not expected that it's so. The general consensus on law Twitter, so I'm not a lawyer, and I am not offering a qualified legal opinion. This is armchair quarterbacking. But lawyers on Twitter have said that there's a chance the appeal bond is going to be very low, like that Vic Mignogna is not going to have to pay a lot to appeal. Not because And actually, it's partially because they're very the judge is pretty confident he's not going to be overturned. So it's that reasoning may not be true. Either way, it's people aren't expecting it to cost a lot to actually appeal. But from what I've gathered based on reading various sources about Texas law, under the like when you appeal something like this in Texas, I don't know if this works generally other courts either, but I know in Texas, like, they can't introduce new evidence. They can only work with the evidence that was introduced in the trial. And the reason why this case got tossed under the TCPA is because Tybeard couldn't provide the clear evidence to back up any of his claims. And he didn't even have to prove his claims fully. He just had to pull out enough evidence to show that he, like, that it was, like, a reasonable belief that they were true. Like, that the plaintiff's claims were true. He didn't have to, like, prove them as far as he would during an actual, like, full judgment. He just had to get, like, he didn't have to, he just had to move the ball a little. And he failed to do that, which means that when the appeals court, when the appeals judges hear this, they're just going to be looking at the same evidence that got this immediately tossed in the TCPA. But it does mean, because the Texas appeals process can take 2 to 3 years, that we might be giving you Vic Mignogna updates for a while. And most of those updates are going to be like, the appeals court hasn't gotten to it yet.
I hate it. I hate it. I'm going to take the small win that is Vic getting his butt kicked. But, yeah, I wish this was a bigger win.
Well,
it's
a pretty big win. It's no matter what was going to happen at this level, they were going to appeal no matter what.
Right.
So this does mean, and so actually Vic appealing, because he has such a, like, so little chance of actually successfully winning the appeal, this is going to cost Vic Mignogna so much money. It's going to cost him so much money. And, yeah. Like,
I know, and I take comfort in that. I just, like, I'd be happier if I knew he wasn't going to, like, find work at all after this. Like, as dark as that sounds,
well,
I'm just...
Well, he's not going to find anything decently paying. Like,
that's fair.
It's, he's, if you've looked at, like, the stuff he's done, he's got, like, that Borderline Furry video game booked... End of list.
Fair.
So, I mean, like, he's going to keep doing some convention appearances, but, like, obviously he's doing far fewer cons than he used to, and now he's, like, doing, like, cons that are in, like, basements versus, you know, the huge mega cons. And, like, he's pretty much just, like, begging on the street. Like, hopefully he saved money while he was doing those good-paying jobs for years and has some investments, because I don't see him having a continued acting career. Like, maybe in a few years, like, maybe in, like, 3 or 4 years, he might be able to start booking jobs again, but at this point he's pretty toxic. And most major conventions won't touch him with a 10-foot pole, even the ones that would used to be kind of permissive of his behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
no, that's fair.
Only the jackhole cons, you know, the cons run by creepy dudes who you want to avoid. Like, only those cons will keep bringing him back. I don't know. Again, you have any thoughts on this? As the person who's had closest contact with Mr. Mignogna?
I'm glad we were right.
Well,
I'm still glad we were right.
I knew we were going to be right. That wasn't the question.
Oh, yeah, but it still feels nice.
Oh, I get, you know, the only thing I've been wrong about is, if we recall, I said Vic would have to be an idiot, and I don't think he is one. And no, he did prove me wrong there. He did prove that he's an idiot.
Ain't that the truth?
Like, I said he'd be too smart to do this, and he was not too smart to do this. And that was my one bad call in this entire situation. Everything
I'm
else
still,
I've been like 5x5.
I'm sad. I'm only sad because he still has supporters. That frustrates me.
Yeah, but most of those,
I can't believe that. I just can't.
Yeah, but then most of them aren't even anime fans. Like, there are anime fans still in that group, but these guys don't know anime. They don't. They don't care. These are comic, like, Nick Rikita doesn't give a crap about Vic Mignogna. He was a guy who was trying to, like Nick Rikita is got a fascinating trust fund backstory involving getting fired from his job as a banker and then going to law school on Mommy and Daddy's dime. And then once he, he really is barely practiced as a lawyer. Like, he is a lawyer, but he is barely a lawyer, but he's a lawyer. But most of the time, he just spends trying to be a reactionary YouTuber. If this were the 90s, we'd call him a shock jock. And he was a comic skate guy. Like, he was a comic skate guy who jumped onto this Vic Mignogna bandwagon because he saw dollar signs. And I'm not talking about the GoFundMe. I mean, obviously the GoFundMe, but I don't know if he's getting any money out of that. It should be going straight to Ty Beard's account. I don't know if Nick is getting paid anything by any of that. But he's used it to milk for super chats and just grift his audience of these Vic Mignogna supporters. And there's a huge amount of people, though, in this I Stand With Vic group who don't really give a crap about Vic Mignogna.
Well, I knew that. I mean,
he's become a symbol for them, but a lot of them are just like it's just comic skate people, Gamergate people, these fucking lowlifes. It's
fair.
And like, you know, like I had that encounter at CoolieCon with this comic skater, and I like he was all polite and nice in person, and then he jumped on our webpage and like wrote this screed sounding like every nut job on the internet. And I realized that initially I was like, okay, maybe some of these people are reasonable people when I like met them in person. And then the instant he jumped on the internet, I was like, dude, you know, like this isn't like once he got on his keyboard, suddenly he was like all fire and brimstone. And I'm just like, wow.
And couldn't be bothered to check any of his facts. I read the thing.
Yeah,
it
I know.
Was bad.
But it's
it was embarrassing.
Yeah. It's these guys are oh I don't know. That's something for later in the show.
Indeed. Indeed. We got a bit of but you know what else is really tragic? You know, it actually is a real letdown for people and in general is the one of the things you don't want to get hurt and have to, you know, lose time at work. Sometimes that's terrible, especially when, you know, you seriously injure your knee on set of something that should in theory be fun.
Yep. And not even doing an action scene.
And not even doing an action scene. Unfortunately, this is the experience that John Cho had on the set of Netflix live-action Cowboy Bebop, which I'm still cautiously excited for, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah,
and
I'm looking forward to some Cow's Boys beep-boop.
And, but no, the filming has been set back for 7 to 9 months.
Yeah.
Because poor John Cho hurt his knee that badly.
Yeah,
oh, jeez.
There are some people who have figured out what kind of knee injury he has based on that recovery time. Most productions, when something like this would happen, would probably recast the role and keep going, but Netflix has said, no, we're going to stick with our guy. And to be fair, I can't think of another American actor more suited to play Spike Spiegel.
Yeah, that's my go-to, honestly. It was weird when people were upset about the casting as I'm in this corner being like, he's lanky.
Yeah, no, he's the right physical type. He's got
he's
the right...
funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Like, and I feel like he gets the vibe about halfway between the American voice actor and the Japanese voice actor. Like, his natural vibe kind of sits in the middle there. There's a certain kind of character in anime that I've yet to ever find an American voice actor able to do. Spike Spiegel's one of them. Goto and Pat Labor is another one of them. It's just kind of this, like, pulled back, like, intonation that, like, I feel like a lot of English voice actors can't do. But I feel like John Cho, like, while he doesn't have that, I feel like he's closer to it than most other American actors.
Mm-hmm. No, I can see that.
And so, and he's done action stuff with Star Trek 2009, and he's, like, and so, like, I think he's too perfectly cast. It's, and so it sucks that it's going to be delayed 7 to 9 months. It's a 10-episode season.
And I still find it vaguely promising. So, yeah. I hope it gets well soon.
Yeah. I hope eventually. I mean, we're not going to see Cowboy Bebop at his computer, but it's a joke. Old people on the internet are going to think that's funny, and, like, people under the age of, like, 30 are going to be like, what is Trey talking about? There's a famous caption in a newspaper that shows the character of Ed from Cowboy Bebop on a computer, and it's it was an article about the popularity of anime, and the caption for the photo was Cowboy Bebop at his computer.
Jesus Christ.
Thus
I forgot about that until you explained
calling
it.
Ed Cowboy Bebop and calling Ed a he in the same sentence.
I forgot. I was happy.
You can Google this and find it.
You can Google it.
No, I'm talking to the listener. Not you, Nick.
You know
what I'm talking about, so I don't need to tell you.
I know what you're talking about. I'm angry now.
Well, so, you know, it's not a new phenomenon for people not to check their sources thoroughly when reporting on geek news, is it?
It's funny that you had mentioned that, Trey, because I wanted to bring that up as our big topic for the episode.
Oh, just spontaneously and absolutely
just
not planned?
Spontaneously.
Not that
we even not planned.
Said it like 28 minutes ago in the opening
wasn't
credits.
Wasn't even your idea. Yeah, just spontaneously.
This is the show, folks.
This is the show. This is, yep. So, of course, we are talking about nerd news and people not checking their facts. That's going to be our big discussion topic, and there's a lot of ground to cover there. And actually, one of the best examples comes from the news around live-action Cowboy Bebop, believe
you
it or not.
You don't say!
Yeah, I really, I do say. This is one that I've been angrily fact-checking for months now, and we still see it come up, which just grinds my gears, which was, one came out, I want to say within the week after the actual cast for the live-action Bebop was announced. A website started sharing, but they cast a German Shepherd as Ein for live-action Cowboy Bebop. And of course, everyone came out of the woodwork for, oh, Netflix never knows how to do live action anime, rawr. And, like, despite the fact that this thing has no source whatsoever. And what was it? A week, maybe 2 weeks ago, a video was released by Netflix from the set at Cowboy Bebop. And of course, there was a little bull marked Ein and a little corgi ran up to it, and of course that's what they were going to do. Because Netflix isn't that dumb. They're dumb sometimes. Look at how they handled Ava, but they're not that dumb.
Of course not.
Also, while I'm fact-checking things, this is another meme, actually building off of that one, that drives me up the wall. Is people making fun of Netflix adaptations of anime in general. Because other than Cowboy Bebop, Netflix has only done one live-action anime adaptation. And that was Death Note.
They did Death Note. Did they finance the Fullmetal Alchemist one?
No, that was Warner Brothers Japan.
Okay.
The Fullmetal Alchemist one, the Bleach one, those were both made by Warner Brothers Japan. Netflix just got the exclusive rights to it and released it as an original.
Right, so that's where people get confused, though, because it's presented to them as a Netflix original.
Uh-huh. So part of it is Netflix and the blatant lie that is this is a Netflix original series. But yeah, no, they didn't actually make that. They didn't actually make either of those god-awful movies. They did make the god-awful Death Note movie, but
yeah.
Yeah. Finding good live-action anime movies that don't feature Tom Cruise or weren't directed by Robert Rodriguez are really hard. Was that a hint at a project I'm working on? Maybe. Anyway.
Who knows? Well, it's, and, I mean, the raw fact as it comes down to is that this news story about the German Shepherd, this got spread on multiple blogs.
Uh-huh.
This got spread on multiple things, and it all went back to that single article on a site that no one had heard of with zero sources.
Mm-hmm.
But people spread it.
And it was especially annoying because with the initial casting announcement, it came from Netflix, from their own website. Like, their own press team did it. But then just magically, this other site, yeah, like, didn't do a source, just said, Netflix announced with no source whatsoever.
Yeah.
Funny that.
And people just spread it without reading into it, without doing any verification, without, like, I'm not even asking that, like, you question... I mean, like, you should probably question sites that don't have sources, but, like, if THR says that Insider said it, that's way more credible than if Bob's Anime Blog says it. But secondly, if you actually looked at the site that had that article about Ayn being a German Shepherd, you wouldn't find other content there.
Mm-hmm.
It was 100%... clearly a hoax site if you clicked anywhere on that site and paged around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a problem.
Oh, God, it comes up a lot. And people don't... Like, we talk... I mean, it's scary how well, quickly this, like, fake... I hate this phrase so much. I hate it from the depths of my being. How easily this fake news spreads.
Yeah,
it creeps me out because I mean, like, people do it with important things, but they also do it with like nerd news all the time.
Yeah, well, it's take a look at we talked about this many episodes back, to the point where I made a parody image, about the Gundam movie rumors for years that would always accompany a supposed screenshot. That was this photoshopped image that it literally took me 30 seconds on the internet to find the original image of the helicopter. It was two Gundam models photoshopped behind a helicopter that was landing. And in TinEye, I popped the image into TinEye and found the original untouched image of just the helicopter. So of course I put me and Nick in the background of the picture in mm-hmm. place of the giant robots. It's somewhere on our Facebook page. You can go look at it.
It's still classic.
But, like, and there's just no effort to verify. There's no effort to look. And it's just frustrating because, like, it's... If you are... this is what's actually let. So what's happened though is you take all of this, and then you get to these people like the I Stand With Vic people, and the Comic Skate people,
uh-huh.
who will pass around conspiracy theories about this stuff, without verifying at all, without doing anything, and it's like, and we saw this a lot in the Vic Mignogna case, where like there are these stories that get passed around about like. Some of the voice actors, well, they'll like claim people said things that they didn't, and claim like lots of things happened that are easily verifiable. Like this one guy, like there are people who keep insisting that Vic Mignogna never touched Jamie Marchi's hair, when in Vic's deposition, he not only admits to pulling it at one point, but like there is in the video of it, he mimes grabbing her hair.
Uh-huh.
But because the YouTube machine around these Comic Skate and I Stand With Vic people, this YouTube machine, like, they will just keep repeating these rumors, and none of these people who watch these videos will go out and verify. Like, they'll say there's no evidence when there's a pile of affidavits.
Uh-huh.
Which are evidence, guys.
That's how that works.
That's how
the law works.
Yeah. And they'll say, oh, he never did this, when literally we have, like, if you read the transcripts of Vic's deposition, he will, like, admit to
he
doing
He says it. He did this. Yeah.
Yeah. He may have, like, it's just, it's ridiculous.
Another one from earlier this year that we had to catch was the now... infamous gamer girl bathwater.
Oh god.
Yeah, so that was cosplayer and Twitch streamer person Blue Delfine was selling bottles of gamer girl bathwater. You know what? If she made money off of it, I respect the hustle. Gonna be real with you. And literal, it seemed like less than a day after that news hit, there was a fake, a fake Twitter blog, or like a Twitter blog that used a title that sounded like an actual news source, reported that people were getting herpes or something from drinking the gamer girl bathwater.
It was some guy, yeah, like it was a story about a guy getting rushed to the hospital after drinking it.
Uh-huh. Which, but then as soon as you, literally, it was a single click. All you had to do was click that Twitter profile, and the first thing it said was, not actually this site, the Run for Comedy. Literally at the top of the page. And what really grossed me out about that one was that I would inform people, hey, this is fake. This isn't actual news. This is a gag page. And their response to me was, yeah, but it's still funny, so I'm going to keep sharing it.
Yeah.
Like, that's horrible. That's heinous. That's legitimately heinous.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. That's actually the one thing that drives me nuts, is when, like, you get the response of, oh, well, it's still funny. And I'm just like, but you were presenting it as true. You were, like, and I've got Facebook friends who will do this, and I like these people overall as friends, but, like... this is...
But, like, attacking and hurting someone's reputation,
yeah,
for humor is super not cool.
No, it's not cool. And it's... it's so frustrating. It's just so frustrating that people don't spend 2 seconds to, like, look up what they're doing. Like, it's so easy. It's so easy. Like, well, first off, is people don't know how to look at a, they don't look at a source beyond the page they land at. And that's actually kind of alarming to me, how few people can notice these obviously, like, fake sites, like, look at the URL, look at the page, click around the site, see if there are other news stories there, see what those other headlines are. Do they sound crazy? Or do they not exist? Maybe you're on a fake page. You know, it's...
I don't know how long, for how many years, I have seen the same article shared around of Oron High School Host Club Season 2 confirmed. Like, it's always the same article, too. And for those of you who aren't into the shoujo reverse harem anime scene, that is a now more than decade-old anime.
Yeah.
It's not getting a second season.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll get a Fruits Basket-style remake, but that's the best you can hope for. Yeah.
I think the only ancient show that ever had actual chance in second season was for the 5 minutes where they considered making a second season of Ghost Stories after its success in the United States. Which is a real thing that happened.
I believe it. I need to look more into that, but
so
I believe that.
Ghost Stories in Japan was a massive bomb. It got bought by ADV as part of a package with other shows, where it kind of got hoisted on it, where the people who made it were desperate to make any money off of it and let ADV... And if you don't know anything about the Ghost Stories dub, is literally ADV was told to do whatever they wanted.
And they did.
The only things
things
they weren't allowed to do were change the character names, or that was one, and the other thing was to... they weren't allowed to change the basic story structure. Everything else was fair game. And they turned what was a disappointing critical failure of a horror series into a hilarious dark comedy.
That the whole setup legally is like super common for those who don't know, like especially in the anime industry at the time, like Japanese studios would pull a, hey, you want this actually good show? You also have to buy the licensing rights to these three or four other things that we can't move.
Yeah, it's the only thing that was different with the case of Ghost Stories was that normally it's on those other shows you have to buy. They still have to follow like set rules and like, with their translations.
Mm-hmm.
But they just wanted someone to pay any money for Ghost Stories, and it was such a... they ultimately didn't do it, but it was because the show was such a success in America. They actually, and the show was like 10 years, at least 10 years old when the dub came out. They considered doing a second season to capitalize on the American audience, but decided, you know, it was not worth the monetary investment because, again, the show absolutely bombed in Japan. Which is surprising because it was based on a very popular book series. But back to the topic.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's... This is my message to you, dear listener of our show. You may have shared fake bad articles before. You may have gone to K-pop stars and thought, this looks like a legitimate website. I should be believing everything they say. And we forgive you. Don't feel bad.
We forgive you.
But, like... it's time to start developing the skills. It's time to start clicking through stuff. It's time to get those, like, if they don't name their source, like, if you don't get names, like, look at the reputation of the site. You need to look more into it. You know, there are small sites that do good reporting. We exist.
I like to think we're pretty good, yeah. And when we screw up, we own up to it, too.
But also, we list our sources.
Mm-hmm.
Also, though, when you find an article that, like, say, that Ein the Dog and Cowboy Bebop is going to be played by a German Shepherd, and you're on a blog, click through to the source, if there's a source.
If there are literally any other articles on the blog.
Yeah. But, no, but, like, because this story got picked up by other blogs that were being lazy, like, click through, Google search, see if there's more, and like, see if anyone else is reporting on this and if they go back to different people. Like, a Netflix announcement, if Netflix makes an official announcement, it's going to be on more than one industry site, and they will have direct quotes from Netflix, or they will be able to say exactly when the statement was made. They're not going to link back to no-name site.
And probably, like, actually, for example, with the John Cho knee injury thing, like, that was covered by non-anime sites.
Yeah.
Because, like, actual show business news sites are going to be like, hey, star of Netflix sci-fi show, hurt.
An otherwise largely famous person.
Mm-hmm.
What we're asking is for you to do better, folks. We're asking for you to go out and make sure that you evaluate sources. Because if you can learn to do that with science fiction, anime, and geek news, maybe, just maybe, you can take those skills into the rest of your life.
Uh-huh.
And then,
right, as there's an election coming up, you should actually learn how to parse good and bad news.
Yeah.
Like, sooner rather than later.
Just because something looks good and you agree with what it says doesn't mean you shouldn't check out to make sure that it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if the other side is largely relying on misinformation, doesn't mean misinformation won't come out on your side as well.
Yep.
Because it fucking does. Pardon my language. It's been a lot of me and Nick talking again. What are your thoughts?
Largely the same. Man, I don't know. It's like common sense.
But these people don't have common sense, Gen.
I know, and that's the problem.
That's right, listeners. If you act now, for just $10.99 a month, Gen will review at least 5 links that you want to post per month and verify whether or not they're true. You just have to pay Gen $10.99 a month. I think that was a decent rate for your time, right? To check 3 links?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's our new service. Gen will verify your links for $10.99 a month. Act now and receive a high five.
And nothing else.
And whatever I find in that box over there in the corner that I don't know what's in it. Can't be anything good. I haven't opened it in 2 years.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Or I'll give you a random cable out of that box of cables that I think are all broken.
You know what cable surprisingly wasn't broken? Josh Brolin's cable in Deadpool 2. That was a very good portrayal of the character. I cared for it. It was good.
I feel, you know, that felt like a segue, but it really wasn't to anything. Like, that's the kind of cheesy segues we do, but there's no Deadpool story or Cable story or Josh Brolin story or.
Not really, no. I mean, I guess Ryan Reynolds met with Marvel Studios recently, so that's
so,
kind of a Deadpool.
So this is my problem with this is completely not related to anything we've talked about all episode. Look, I love Deadpool 2. I love that movie. I think it's a great movie. Cable's too short.
That's fair.
Josh Brolin is a tiny man. Like,
I think he needed at least 17 more pouches.
Well, yeah, he did, yeah, but
honest costume.
Like, Josh Brolin. Let me look this up. Josh Brolin is only 5'10". Like, when Deadpool is towering over Cable, something is wrong. Five ten is my dad's height.
Your dad is your dad's height.
That is technically true. Ryan Reynolds, on the other hand, so Ryan Reynolds is 6'2". That's my brother's height. And now I'm all I'm going to think about when I watch Deadpool 2 next is my dad and my brother.
Welcome.
It's just
to
ruined for me.
I recently watched the origin. I finally watched the origin of Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool. Blade 3!
Oh, thank God. I thought you were going to say X-Men Wolverine Origins.
No, gosh,
or X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Blade 3.
Yeah, Blade
3. That was technically what led into it,
yeah,
according to the producers.
And that is certainly a movie.
Yep.
The Blade series I talk about as there's the okay one, the good one, and that one.
And soon there will be the Mahershala one.
That's true.
And I'm excited.
Yeah. I mean, the only Blade movie I genuinely like is the second one. Like, out of the original trilogy, the only one I like is the second one.
Hmm.
And it's the Guillermo del Toro one.
Oh, okay.
And
that makes
I will
sense.
Say, it's it only... is a bit of a whiplash to go from Demolition Man to Blade.
Jeffrey Dahmer? I love that guy! It's a line from Demolition Man, as spoken by Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
Demolition Man is a weird movie in the sense that it was made in this time period between Jeffrey Dahmer's incarceration and his death in prison. And, like,
it's weird.
It's like it's only a few years that, and so that movie came out right in there because he's in the cryo prison. Jeffrey Dahmer is supposed to be one of the prisoners in the cryo prison, but Jeffrey Dahmer in real life is, of course, dead by the time the movie takes place. But yeah, it's a. I love Demolition Man.
It's really good.
It is so enjoyable.
Sure.
It is. Yeah, it's just a fun movie, and it's ridiculous and stupid. I don't know if I would say it's a good movie, but it's definitely an amazing time watching it.
Oh yeah, agree.
God. Somehow every October I end up talking about Demolition Man.
That is really weird.
Now, it's because a year ago on BS Free Witchcraft, we ended up, my guest and I, Lee Bradford was the guest on that episode, and at one point we just ended up talking about Demolition Man for like 5-10 minutes. Because I think it's because she made a joke about a bus full of school kids getting lit on fire. And it's because No, but, like, it was, like, out of, like, the mist of things that never happened in this place that kind of, like, the legends pop, urban legends popped up about. That none of it happened, but I mentioned that that's what the bus full of school kids and people, the bus full of hostages getting killed at the beginning of Demolition Man is the crime that gets Spartan, like, Wesley Snipes' character lit them all on fire. Lit a bunch of hostages on fire, and while John Spartan was trying to apprehend him, and that was the inciting crime at the beginning of Demolition Man, so that's how that came up in that episode. You don't remember that part of Demolition Man?
I've never actually seen Demolition
I
Man.
Do,
it's in the opening. It's yeah. I haven't watched that movie in like 20 years, but I watched it so much. I watched Demolition Man so much in the 90s that I know the whole, like, I have every shot in my head.
I
hear the initials MDK, I always think murder, death, kill.
I got nothing. I'm sorry.
Nick's never watched Demolition Man.
Nick, I've never seen Demolition Man.
You need
Man.
To watch Demolition Man.
You're a Demolition Man.
Again, do you have a copy of Demolition Man?
On Hulu.
It's on Hulu?
It's on Hulu?
All right, maybe then I'll look at it.
You need to go watch Demolition
Man.
Yeah,
that's where we watched it.
All right, so Nick, Gen and I are going to do the mailbag. You need to go watch Demolition Man, all right?
Okay, darn it. Fine, I'll go watch it.
Gen, why don't you take the letter
that
we have in the mailbag?
All right, I'll see you guys in a bit. I've got to go watch Demolition Man.
Gen, why don't you jump into the mailbag and take that letter from Brenda Gibner?
It'll fit. You will fit inside the mailbag. It's big.
Give me just a hot second to bring it up.
What's that? Oh, there's so much paper in the mailbag to sort through to find it.
Found it.
Okay, good.
This one is from our good buddy, Brenda. Brenda Gibner. Nice to hear from you again. Subject, Ed. She writes, so I'm pretty excited for the live-action Cowboy Bebop, and I don't think Netflix will mess it up. But where's Ed? I did read somewhere with the storyline that it might not include Ed, and that sucks. I still have no idea who would even play her because she's so different, and that could also be it. Also, have fun in Detroit, Jerry. Have fun in Detroit, Trey.
Yes.
Detroit, Trey.
That's right. I will be at YumaCon November 1st through 3rd in Detroit, Michigan. I am a guest there this year, and we will be doing a Nerd and Tie Live there with me and special guest host Miles Reed Lobato. But before that, we got to talk about the Ed in Cowboy Bebop. So, in the original anime series, Ed doesn't show up in Cowboy Bebop until episode 9.
I was going to say, which episode is jamming with Edward? Okay, episode 9.
It's episode 9. Yeesh. And so this is going to be a 10-episode season. And so if they're doing an arc involving, like, Vicious and stuff like that, I think we first, like, the first big Vicious episode is episode 4, isn't it?
5.
5?
Ballad
okay.
of Fallen Angels.
All right.
Yeah.
Don't
judge me.
But so,
I know these titles off the top of my head.
No, that's fine. So with that, I would say that I think they would just be like, because they probably want to do multiple seasons of the show, if they're going to lengthen the storylines a little bit to milk as much as possible, it makes sense that we wouldn't encounter Ed in the first season.
I could understand wanting to kind of see if you can get the tone to work before you work such a
feral child.
Yeah, into it. And I hate, and like, I love Ed. I know that there is a portion of Bebop fans that do not like her. They're free to be wrong.
Those people are wrong.
Mm-hmm. 100% agreed.
It's also based on the story I've read is also, Ed is based on the person secretly inside Yoko Kanno.
I believe that.
That is the explanation. But so I don't know who would play Ed, but also Ed's a 13-year-old, so we'd be looking at a child actor who probably wouldn't. We'd probably be looking at names that we don't know or people who haven't done a lot of work because, you know, like, I assume they'll cast a little bit older, just like how they did on Umbrella Academy with the one character. Mm-hmm. But
with 5, yeah.
Yeah. But I think that I'm sure that there are, like, there's some 15-year-old actress who would be perfectly fine in the role. I just don't know who that would be. And I just think that they would be waiting for season 2 to deal with that character.
I agree. I think it would be best to make sure that they can even get the show, the basic premise, to work before you throw an Ed spanner into
things.
Yeah,
because Ed joined the show in episode 9 and leaves, I think, around episode 24.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Because basically any of the Vicious heavy episodes, Ed is sidelined for because she is an atom bomb to the tone.
Yeah.
Like, you can't... Ed is a fantastic character, but you kind of have to... segregate her from the story when the episodes get too heavy because it just
yeah
It's like, and as I say that, it's like, hey, Nick, wasn't one of your favorite episodes Brain Scratch, which is actually a pretty Ed-heavy episode? Shut up, Brain.
Ed is amazing, but I think that you gotta, like, just like in the original anime, you need to establish the tone before you bring her in.
Right.
And I think that's all that's gonna happen. So, I think that if the show is successful and gets a second season, that's when we'd see Ed.
Agreed.
Because I would like to see Ed on screen.
Completely agreed.
Yeah. I mean, they could go a different direction than, like, the actual 13-year-old. But I don't know. Like, Ed as the androgynous feral child is kind of a hilarious thing, and I don't want them to go a different direction with that.
Yeah, I could see someone taking Ed and, like, sexifying her.
Oh, God.
Like, unfortunately. So I'm just really hoping not. No, thank you. Don't turn her into an adult.
Please don't.
Please don't. That's why you have Faye.
Yeah. Please don't turn her into the guy in the chair either.
Yeah.
I mean, occasionally Ed is the guy in the chair.
Occasionally Ed is the guy in the chair, but I mean, I don't want Hollywood nerd. You know?
Oh, right,
I don't want Felicity Smoke on the Bebop, is what I'm saying. Does that make sense?
So, I want to say, I don't want to see Ed turn into Felicity Smoke, but I do actually think it would be entertaining to see Felicity Smoke on the Bebop.
Not unfair, but I stand by my statement nevertheless.
No, I agree. I don't want... Yeah. No, Ed needs to be practically nonverbal. Crazy person.
Agreed.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, we should probably move on to the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge. Agreed?
Sounds good.
All right.
Let's do this.
Let's
do
this, folks.
Steve Challenge.
So, the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge is the part of every episode where I read a line from a book. And the challenge to you, the reader, is to guess what book it is. And if you guess correctly, you've struck gold. No, you haven't. We just put your name on a website and read it in the episode.
I say, you will not strike any gold.
You'll strike metaphoric gold. It has
you
no monetary
no
value. But you get to feel good inside for having solved the puzzle. The dopamine will be great. All right, so
it'll be okay.
The current members of the Hall of Awesome are as follows. Arkhamite Zero, Rain Incendi, Cheesy McDamu, Krista, Slitherity, Shameless Otaku, The Random Ramblings Band, Corfan, Capito, Chris Graham, Lily Soares, Paper Godzilla, Cavsey, The Minnesota Librarian, Sean Orange, Keith Shizuo, Sakura Sunset, Joel Kreisman, Patrick Delahanty, and Wonderland Arts. And now, I return to this tome, which we have read from for several weeks, months, not years.
Yet.
And your line for today, for this episode, is, finally, she sat up and tried to take stock. Her fingers found the spyglass, and she held it to her eye, supporting one trembling hand with the other. If you know what book that's from, go to nerdandtad.com, click on contact, and tell us. Or if you have anything else you'd like to tell us, write to us, speak to us, say to us, you can fill out that contact form and tell us just like Brenda did, or you can call us at area code 414-375-0480 and leave a message. And if we like it, we will play it on the show. And it'll get to be like you're on the show, part of the team, even though you're really not. Because you're you and we're us and we love you, but we have roles to play here. And our roles are show hosts, and your role is show listener, and somewhere, deep down inside, we knew that all along.
That's just the way it's gotta be. You gotta understand.
All right, so Again, some quick notes. As mentioned previously, I will be at YumaCon in Detroit. And that will be November 1st through 3rd. We will be doing Nerd and Tie live. Importantly, there will be a live recording of Nerd and Tie there. Since we've never done a show in Detroit before, who knows how many people will be there. Archimize, if you're not there, I'm going to make you eat your own hat. And that will be the live episode is going to be recorded November 2nd, Saturday at 7 p.m. in the TCF Center's Portside Ballroom. And that episode's not going to come out to the general public until mid-November. So if you go to this taping, if you go to the live version of the show, you will get to hear the November episode of Nerd and Tie weeks before anyone else.
Real talk.
Real talk. And now Nick and Gen can't be there with me, unfortunately. Nick's going to be at Anime Nebraska, and if you're at Anime Nebraska, you should say hi to Nick.
Yeah, you should swing by Angry Fox LLC, buy things from me, and say hi to me.
And Gen had work conflicts, so joining me on the show is going to be Miles Reed Lobato of Takoyaki Entertainment. He's going to be co-hosting the show with me, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And you should check it out because it's going to be a great, amazing time. I've got other panels. I've got I will be also have a table there, and you should find me and say hi if you're going to be at YumaCon. And if you're not planning on going to YumaCon and you're in Michigan, what is wrong with you? Get your ass to YumaCon. Right?
Yeah. Person
right.
Who's not going, get your stuff together.
Jeez. All right. Well, we should probably say goodbye.
I guess. As always, I am Nick Izumi.
I'm Trey Dorn.
I'm Ken Prock.
And remember, you can follow this show on social media. We are at Nerd and Tie on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdandtie, and nerdandtie.tumblr.com. Remember, you can support the show by either sponsoring us. You can go to nerdandtie.com and click on the sponsor information. You can support our legal fund at gofundme.com/nerdandtie, or you have other options. If you want to support us individually, I have a Patreon at patreon.com/TRAEGORN. Nick has a Patreon at patreon.com/NickIzumi. Gen does not have a Patreon, but has many stores on the internet. Just search for Ocelot Dude Designs and find the Etsy and stuff and buy really neat pillows. And remember, Nerd and Tie is part of the Nerd and Tie Podcast Network. Also on the network is the Nick Izumi Show, a YouTube show where Nick talks about anime and just anything that strikes his nerdy fancy. And You can find that at nerdandtie.com and click on the big Nick Izumi link, or you can go to youtube.com/Nick Izumi and just subscribe and watch the crap out of that show, because in your heart, in your soul, deep down in the place that you don't think about at night, you know that it was meant to happen.
Do it. Do it. And as always, keep on Spocking in the free world.
Or don't. Your body, your choice.
Go watch Demolition Man.
Yeah, go watch Demolition Man right now. Screw that whole thing about you having a choice. You have to go watch Demolition Man right now. I don't care if it's problematic in some parts. I don't care if Dennis Leary's overbearing. It's just, go do the thing.